Genesis chapter 5. We believe that every word of God is pure. We believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We believe that all Scripture is the revelation of God. And so that's because of our belief, because of our faith in the Word of God, we go through it, and we've been going through pretty systematically. Whatever's there, that's what we look at. And in chapter 5, we come across the genealogies. And these are pretty significant. They're important. This is the genealogy of humanity, if you will. We're all related to these individuals. So at this point in history, or at least what we've covered thus far, we have the creation, we have man's violation, the sin, and all of that. Then we have Cain and Abel and Cain's murder. And then we have the generations of Cain. We looked at that and how Lamech followed his father, Cain, into sin as well, murdering a boy, a young man. And then at the end of chapter 3, we saw that Seth was born. And in verse 25, it says, "And Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son and called his name Seth." Seth means to set, okay? And there's other kind of variant ideas as well. But to set, to place. God, said she, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So Seth, and we'll look at the genealogies here. She's looking for a seed. Eve is looking for a seed that the Lord promised, see. And it would be through Seth that the seed would come, and not through Cain. It's interesting that Seth called his son Enos. In Hebrew, Enosh, and Enosh, it means man in his weakness. And Seth saw man is weak. And it's interesting at that same time that he calls his name Enosh, man in his weakness. That's when men begin to call upon the name of the Lord, because they realize we're weak, we need the Lord. Well, chapter 5 here just goes through the genealogies and gets us to a man named Noah. Before we look in these verses, though, just remember, just want to make a note of a few things here. Sometimes numbers are given and they aren't given. When we come to Genesis 5, he's going to give us the age of Adam. He's going to tell us Adam was 130 and he begat Seth. And all the days of Adam was 930 years. But when we were in chapter 3 and we had the genealogy of Cain, he didn't give us any years, didn't give us any numbers. And that's by design. We see that what the Lord expresses to us is important. If every word of God is pure and these are the words of God, then they're pure. If it's the revelation of God, it's what we need. And this is the revelation of God, then it's what we need. And we can also notice that we aren't given a lot of detail. We're not given a lot of information, for instance, about Cain's lineage. And while we can search for the information we have and try and understand everything that we have, the Lord hasn't given us the years and the dates and all of that thing. And the reason is, we don't need it. It's not that important, right? There are things the Lord doesn't say. It's not that important. We don't need it. Okay. But that should show us as well, the things that God does give us, we need it. It's important, right? So we don't need to really dig too much in, well, when was Cain born and when was this guy born? That's not that important. But he does give us information here. So it is important that we understand these right here. So I just want to have that caveat before we continue. this isn't bloat. You know, this isn't just extra information. But it's part of the revelation of God. It's critical to understanding and knowing the Lord. Now, we've been going through Genesis for the reason of laying foundation. But this principle that we're talking about right now is a foundational principle to approaching all of Scripture, I'll leave it there, that all of it is important. All of it is the revelation of God. And so many people who want to give evidence, if you will. They don't treat the scriptures that way. I've heard people say that the New Testament is more important than the Old Testament. We're a New Testament church. People say that. They'll have it on their sign. We're a New Testament church. What does that mean? I know what it means, but what's the difference? Don't you need all of it? The other people will say the words of Jesus are more important than the rest of the New Testament. That would be more Anabaptist. Anabaptists, that would be like Amish or Mennonites, and those associated might treat the words of Jesus as more important than the others. That's not true, okay? It's not true. The other words are important too. The Old Testament's important too. And we don't say, this one's more important than that one. No, we say we need it all. God says you need it all of it. So with that being said, there's also this truth connecting the dots. Not everything we are to understand is explicit in Scripture. Everything that God wants us to know is not explicit in Scripture. Does that make sense? It means it doesn't say in here, thou shalt not smoke a cigarette, right? It's not explicitly written in Scripture. But can you know the mind of the Lord about that? You can. And so many things in life that are not explicit, but he wants us to understand that. And it's a principle in Scripture, especially Old Testament, the idea of connecting the dots. For instance, if A equals B, and if B equals C, then I can say, even if no one else told me, I can figure out that A equals C. Okay, I can figure that out. And the Lord wants us to do that. Put your thinking cap on when you read it and connect the dots and say, if that's true, then this must be true as well. And that's critical. It's a critical foundation for knowing the Lord. It excludes this idea of the letter of the law mentality. For the Lord himself, he's the criteria himself, and we want to know him, not just the, quote, letter of the law. Another thing I'd like to mention as we go through these, all these names. By the way, all these names are, they are constructed of Hebrew words. Now, bear with me for a minute. Now, when is this? This is before the flood. But these words are constructed of Hebrew words put together. That indicates that was their language. For instance, you have my name. My name's Nathan. My name in English, Nathan in English, doesn't mean anything particularly, right? It's a name. But it does have great significance in Hebrew, for instance. Nathan, means he gave. It comes from the Hebrew, which is interesting. You have like Native American or Indian names, they would, when they're translated to English, what are they called? Lone wolf. Their name means something, right? It means something. Well, it's the same in the scriptures. But notice that theirs were constructed of Hebrew words, which indicates that their language was Hebrew. That's one of just another indication, because their names come from Hebrew. We'll look at the names and their meanings. But their names were made up of Hebrew words. It indicates that they spoke what we call today Hebrew, or it would be the original language, whatever that was, but it's come to be known as Hebrew today. Abraham, and we'll look more at this perhaps later. Abraham is called a Hebrew, and it was his, I think it was four-time great-grandfather. His name was Eber, and he had an exceptionally long life, and that's why he's called a Hebrew, but he lived before Tower of Babel. Eber would have spoken what? He would have spoken the original language. Anyhow, we'll look more about that later when we get closer to Genesis 11. But our names do not have English meaning typically, you know, maybe last names. Townsend does have an English meaning, you know, being at the town's end. Or there's other names like Clark. Well, it's because he was the Clark. The different ends of their names have English meanings, but our first names typically, a lot of times, don't. So it shows that the name's origin is from another language. But these do not have names that are gibberish to Hebrew. Rather, they're Hebrew words, indicating their names. They named them Hebrew names because they spoke Hebrew. There's only one language at the time. So, interesting. Okay, the next thing I need to mention is beware. We have to beware when we look at these numbers. Beware of assuming that these years are whole numbers. They're not all 365-day years. Right? Not everybody lives you know, I'm not 30 years exactly this whole year, right? You add a day every day. Well, it's the same here. These people weren't exactly this age. There's months given and taken, a little bit here or there, perhaps, or a little bit. And you'll see this in Scripture a lot. Part of a year is calculated as a year. So if you live a couple months in that year, then we add that year. For instance, I mapped this out exclusively just treating the dates as whole numbers. So I took all these things and I put them in a big long spreadsheet. It's like Excel, but it's for Apple, it's numbers. And I had to use two sheets because I couldn't get like 2,000 boxes in there. But I put them all in there and I added all their names and I put everything right where they're supposed to go. And if you do that, it'll show you that there's, you know, obvious, at least one obvious error, but others as well, other errors. And the error that's most predominant is Methuselah. If you map that out like that, Methuselah would die 2 years after the flood. It doesn't work because Methuselah died before the flood. In fact, his name means the dying of him, he will send, or it'll send. So Methuselah didn't die after the flood. Methuselah died before the flood. And so if you just mapped out the dates like that, you would see some errors. So that's why you have to make sure, you have to realize that, okay, they're not full years, they're parts of years as well. So there's some overlap a little bit. When adding any years in Scripture, you cannot assume whole years, especially in the Kings. And there are other things in the Kings to look for as well. We'll look at that another time. Ken Sheets, a former chemical engineer and Hebrew professor for some 30 years or so, he's mapped out some of these things. And he'll say often his engineering mind, he has to do this a little differently. But he adds in some of the partial years here and there. So there's some absolute years we can know and some that, you know, you say, well, it's this year or that year. It's close, you know. So I will use some of that as well. So with that being said, why don't we begin here in verse 1 where it says, this is the book of the generations of Adam. Okay, the word book here, it's a record, okay? It's a record. Don't think of like a book like we have today, right? But it's the record. This exists, the record of the generations or the successions of Adam. Adam is just a word for, it could be Adam, or it could be mankind, like human beings. It's used both ways. But he says this, he says, in the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he man. Male and female created he them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Interesting. So in the day of the creating of God, him creating Adam, that is mankind, in the likeness of God he made him. Male and female he created them. So, very clear. There's so many foundational things you see here. How God made man, yes. How he made them male and female, pretty obvious. He also made them in the likeness of God, okay? The image and likeness, they're representatives of God. We've looked at that already in chapter 1. It also says verse 2, and blessed them and called their name Adam. So then he blessed them, then he called their name, Adam. Adam, that's human, mankind, in the day of them being created. So this is just the genealogy here. There's that little introduction there. And then he jumps right in. In verse 3, he says, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begot sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So there are a lot of different ways you could look at this, and I could get you a big old chart. But here, in a minute, we'll go through these, and we will look at them as they come in a chronological time in just a moment. The word Adam, again, it means man or mankind. And he says in year 130, Seth is born. Seth means set. And it's interesting, he was made in Adam's image and likeness, in his representation. And Adam, as well as the others, they begot other sons and daughters. Don't think that there was only three, right? There were other sons and daughters. In fact, I think for every one of these, it says the same phrase at the end of verse 5 here. Verse 4. He says, Seth was 800 years, and talking about Adam, and he begot sons and daughters. Adam begot a lot of sons, a lot of daughters, right? It doesn't say a lot there, but there were many. There had to be enough for people to have wives, right? And there were others. The list of the names here are not the only people that walked the earth. There's not just these generations, but these would be the heads of these families, okay? They would be the heads of these different ones. So you have Adam. And then in verse 6, and Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. So Adam was 930, and Seth was 912 years old. So Seth means set. Enosh is man in his weakness. Then you come to the next one, verse 9. And Enosh lived 90 years and begot Canaan. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. So there's more there. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. So so Canaan. Again, Canaan is the same root as Cain, which means to acquire, or have the idea of to contain something, to get, to acquire, to hold, to contain. And so, year zero, Adam is created. Year 130, Seth is born. About year 234, Enos is born. About year 324, Canaan is born. And then if you look at verse 11, it says, all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. Now Mahalalel, his name means the praise of God. Yes, you can see the hallelujah, hallel. Hallel is the praise. El is God. Mahalalel, the praise of God. And so he's born in about 393. And then if you look at verse 13, and Canaan lived after he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. Jared, let's see. Jared's name, his name means going down. Yes, to going down. And we'll look at these words in a minute. So that's in about 458, Jared is born. And let's see, in verse 16, and Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. Enoch's name means dedicated or to initiate something. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years. That's pretty old. And he died. Verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now Methuselah means, you have Methu is the dying of him, and then Selah. Shelach is to send. So in the dying of him, he will send. Something like that. And Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Interesting. Verse 25, and Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Now, Lamech, this is the same exact name as the one in the lineage of Cain. Of course, not the same person. But I believe his name means, perhaps it means two or four decay or brought low in some way. And after Lamech is born, Adam dies. It doesn't say it in that way here, but Adam dies in 930. We'll look at that in just a minute. Okay, let's see. And after Lamech, we have verse 26. It says, and Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. No one has lived longer than that than we have record of. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands. And that's what his name means. Noah means rest or comfort. It's a change of grief and sorrow to ease and rest is the idea. And he'll comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Interesting. So it doesn't give us specifics. Were these three born in the same year? That would be unusual, assuming that they only had one wife, which probably is a good assumption because they're so close to the beginning. You know, they would have been walking in the design of God. It was different if someone didn't, and it was made note of in chapter 4 about Lamech having two wives. But it just says he was 500 years, and he begot Noah. Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So was it in that year, or how was that exactly? Didn't say specifically. Interesting. So, okay, so now I'd kind of like to take you through this a little more chronologically. As we've gone through this, he gives each person, and he says, he was this old and had a son, and then he lived this more years, total is this. Well, instead, I'd like to go through it just for a different perspective of chronologically how it happened. And I'll just give you these approximate years when you add them up. Again, adding a little bit here or there, depending on, the little bit here or there. There's some absolutes like year zero, Adam was created, and year 930, he died, absolute 930. And so Adam, he was created, and then year 130, Seth's born. Year 234, Enos is born. Year 324, Canaan is born. Year 393, Mahalalel is born. Year 458, Jared is born. Year 619, Enoch is born. Year 684, Methuselah is born. Year 871, Lamech is born. Now, up to this point, the only deaths recorded, maybe there were others, but the only deaths recorded are Cain and the young man that Lamech killed. Abel. Abel and the young man that Lamech killed. Those are the only ones recorded that we have that died. Perhaps others did. But now, taking you chronologically, we had Lamech is born. Now, all through those first 929 years, everybody's being born. Now it's going to be everybody's dying. You have 930, Adam dies. Year 984, Enoch is gone. He didn't die. Let's talk about Enoch a little bit. Enoch walked with God. Interesting. This word, okay, in Hebrew, this word, they have different kinds of action. Different kinds of action in Hebrew. You can have just basic action. This happened, you know. He broke the plate. You can have causative action. He caused to break it. You could have It could be intensive. He intensely broke it. And you could intensely break it by smashing it over and over again, or by really, really smashing it. Or it can be intensive by causing it to happen as well. There are other things as well. But there's another one. It's called hithpael. It's reflexive. It means you do it, and you do it yourself. In fact, we would translate it most often, you do it for yourself, or you do it yourself in that way. For instance, that's what this word here is, this word walk. Enoch walked himself with God, okay? And the implication of that is, I mean, it's communicated here, but it's a little more emphatic when you look down a little deeper. He made himself walk with God. Enoch made himself walk with God. It didn't just happen, right? But Enoch did it himself, it says. And it uses the same terminology of Noah. Noah walked with God. That's in chapter 6, verse 8. And I believe that's the same form. He made himself walk with God. And that's the only way anyone walks with God, is you have to make yourself walk with God. So many times I think people are waiting on the Lord to do something. Lord, you got to do something so I can walk with you. The Lord's not got anything to do. He doesn't have anything he needs to do. It's the ball's in our court. Will you do it or not? Walk with God. You've got to make yourself do it. And anyhow, there's more could be said about that. But that is interesting. He did. He walked with God. I don't have it in my notes, but it is interesting. We could turn to Jude briefly. I'm just read what it says here in Jude about Enoch. Verses 2nd, 3rd, John, Jude, and Revelation. So, Jude, let's see if I can find where it says it, talks about Enoch. Is it Jude? I think it is Jude. Yes. So, he says here, let's see, where do I want to start? Do you see it? I don't see the verse that I'm looking for. Oh, there it is, verse 14. Okay, so he's describing these people who have infiltrated the church already, and he says in verse 14, Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow. Enoch said that? Yeah, Enoch said that. He walked with God. And when you walk with God, you know things, right? You can't walk with God in ignorance. Like, it just happened. I don't know. I don't know how it did it. He knew he walked with the God. And did you know in 2 Peter, again, not in my notes, but I think it's probably a good time to bring out 2 Peter. Let's see if I can find it. Where he talks about, oh, there it is. 2 Peter chapter 2 and... he talks about this in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth preacher or eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, being in the flood upon the world, bringing in the flood upon the world, of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's giving more examples there. But notice, he calls him Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. Now you see the word person is italicized, and literally here, with the cases and everything, we would say the eighth preacher of righteousness. Was he the eighth person? You look at the genealogies, he's not the eighth person. You've got Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, And then you have, after Lamech, is Noah. And so he's the 10th person. He's not the 8th person. No, but he's the 8th preacher of righteousness. Interesting, this title of preacher of righteousness, they were preachers of righteousness. There, if he's the eighth preacher of righteousness, that means there was a seventh preacher, which means there was a sixth preacher of righteousness, a fifth. You can see, and we'll look at this maybe next time, but these people, you remember, they were calling upon the name of the Lord. There were people saying, we have a problem, we need the Lord, and there were people who were speaking, people who were communicating. Enoch is a great example. We see that he prophesied. He knew what the Lord was going to do. Noah preached as well, preacher of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness. Righteousness is only from the Lord. See, they were communicating the criteria of God, the same thing that prophets have done throughout history. And so this was going on at this time, and they were the preachers of righteousness, this godly line here. And these patriarchs of their families, no doubt would have passed that mantle on to the next one who would live. Except there are a few who outlived their sons. And we can look at that another time. So we looked at all of these, that these people were born. Lamech is born. Year 930, Adam died. In year 984, Enoch is taken. He's gone. And in year 1041, Seth dies. Year 1052, Noah is born. Again, his name means rest or comfort. And in year 1139, Enos died. In year 1234, Canaan died. In year 1288, Mahalalel died. In year 1420, Jared died. In year 1552-ish, right in that time, Noah's sons would be born. In year 1647, Lamech died. And in year 1652, Methuselah died. And then in about year, 1652, the flood comes for 370 days. And Noah is 600 years old at that time. And it'll tell us more when we get into chapter 6. So you can take all these things and you can map it out and you can see how these things fit. Very interesting. Their names had significance as well. And it's not as smooth as people make it out to be, but I'll make it a little more smooth. Just for ease here. But it's almost like it's a sentence here. You have mankind, Set, man in his weakness, acquired the praise of God, going down one, dedicated, the dying of him he will send. And then talking about the flood, that wasn't very smooth. I had to go back and get a smoother smoother way of saying that, but it's almost as communicates that the that man has brought this upon himself, and that there's going to be judgment, and it's coming, and we'll look more at that next time. But the dying of him in Methuselah, he will send, and it is evident that he died in the same year that the flood came. But it's also interesting that Methuselah is the oldest recorded person in scriptures, 969 years, which also shows us something else about the Lord. Isn't, you know, the mercy, the long-suffering of the Lord, to give as much time as he did. He says, when this man dies, then the flood will come, and I'm going to make him live longer than anybody else has ever lived. That's kind of interesting. Shows you a little bit about the character and nature of God. Now, next time when we come back, I'll get a chart and we'll look at these things briefly again, and then we're going to go into chapter 6. Let's read a couple of verses here. He says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days. Also, after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. The same became mighty men, which were old men, men of renown. And so we'll dive into this, and we'll look at 2 Peter, and we'll look at Jude a little bit. We'll look at this, and look at the sons of God, and who are they, and how they apply. So it's a genealogy. That's not easy to go through. And perhaps a representation will help us next time, something visual to see it. Any questions or thoughts about any of the genealogies that we've gone over, or anything that we've gone over? Okay. All right. Dear Lord, I thank you that you've given us these things to help us understand not only this part of Genesis, but other places as well. And it'll come in play, I know, as we go in chapter 6 and 7 and 8 to chapter 11. I pray you'd help us, Lord, help us in these things. Thank you for all the time that we've had today. Thank you for the songs that we can sing and fellowship and the food, and thank you for this building. And I pray, Lord, that you would guide us and teach us, and you'd help us to meditate on you and your word. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.